So Heavenly Father, we thank you for your help. We thank you for your help that comes. We thank you for your help that comes in the times when we forget to call for your help. We thank you for your help that comes when we are in great need and struggle. We don't know what to do. We thank you for that. We thank you that your help comes. The Lord is my helper. We thank you for helping us. We thank you for saving us, Lord Jesus, that we might have life and hope. We thank you for salvation in your name. We thank you, Lord, for the choir reminding us today our help comes from the Lord. And we thank you for it. We thank you for your help. We praise you and we honor Jesus today in all that we do. And we thank you for being our helper. In Jesus' name we pray. All God's people said, amen. Well, good morning. Good to see all of you. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us, we're glad to have you. And God bless you for being here. If you have your Bible, if you have your copy of God's Word, find in the Bible, in the New Testament, John chapter 7. John chapter 7 is where we'll be spending our time this morning. And over the next few weeks, church, I want to talk to us about this theme. I've put it here on the screen for you, and we'll take our Bible verses around this theme and think about these very important truths. We've all, most of us here who've been in church for any amount of time, if you've been around a Baptist church for sure, we sing this old song. When we invite people at the end of a service to come and to make spiritual decisions publicly, we sing, "Just As I Am, Without One Plea. But that your blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come." So the grace of God says this to us: no matter what condition I'm in, no matter what's happening in my life, no matter what troubles are going on that I'm facing, just as I am, I can come to Jesus. And so today we're going to look at a very important place in God's Word. This is the place in the Gospel of John where Jesus announces to all of the people of Israel who were there to hear him that he was the promised Messiah. So John chapter 7, these are very familiar words to many who are here today, but they form for us what I want to talk about this week as the first of several things we'll think about over the next few weeks. I come, just as I am, I come today thirsting for satisfaction. Thirsting for satisfaction. Boy, if people could find satisfaction, if they could just come to God and realize that in coming and accepting that invitation, that priority, that necessity, you've got to come to Jesus. But once you come, you experience all the joy and peace and satisfaction that only Jesus can give. So I'd like for you now to stand in honor of the reading of God's Word, and we'll read these few verses together. John chapter 7, verse number 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out. He shouted. Jesus shouted, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." Now John the Apostle tells us these words in verse 39, explaining, "But this he," that is Jesus, "spoke of the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Now, Lord, we stand with our Bibles open and our hearts open, and we thank you for what you have done for us. We've honored and celebrated and praised your name today, offered the sacrifice of praise to your name. But now, Lord, help us who are thirsty, to come to you again. Help us who are thirsty. Oh, how I pray for those who are here in this service who may not recognize that the deepest need in their life, the deepest thirst in their life, is to have a strong, deep, abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. So, Lord, help us today to learn that truth from these words. Just as we are, we stand before you. Just as we are today, many of us come. And we come to you, Jesus, asking that you would forgive us of our sins. And again, fill us and give us the strength and satisfaction that comes in only knowing you. May my words honor Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to make three observations from the Lord Jesus' words. How can anyone comment on these wonderful, blessed words of the Lord Jesus? But I'll do my best to say what I can to try to highlight what Jesus was seeking to say and give us some idea. We all need, first of all, an idea of what was going on here. We're a long way from the Feast of Tabernacles on the day Jesus stood and spoke these words. And for most of us, we're not that familiar with Jewish custom and tradition. So I want to take a few minutes to explain to you what we have here before us. The first thing I want you to see this morning is this, that we have to come to Jesus thirsty and drink. There's a way we approach the Lord Jesus. Though we do not see him with our eyes, we come by faith. We come with a genuine heart desire. We come with a willing mind. We come willingly. We come thirsty, and we come to drink. But before we look at that, I want you to go back in your Bible, verse 37. Now, on the last day, the great day of the feast. What is he talking about here? Well, Jesus is here attending what is called the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Tents. Multiple names. The idea, God ordained through Moses in the Old Testament that the children of Israel, for all of their history, would gather together at certain times of the year to celebrate together all of what God had done for them. So this was one of those feasts. And this is a feast where the children of Israel lived in tents. They gathered in Jerusalem all around the temple. And there they would gather around the temple and they would live on all the countryside, all the surrounding areas. They would live in their tents, keeping in mind how their forefathers had lived in the wilderness in tents. They had no place to live. They were between Egypt and the Promised Land, and how God had to provide for them. So there was water that came for them out of the wilderness as Moses provided. I'd like for you to take your Bible so that you're aware of this event, this story, and go back at the very beginning of your Bible and look in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 17, and here we read this story. This is the story that is the basis for this Feast of the Tents. Listen to Exodus 17:1. Then all the congregation of the sons of Israel journeyed by stages from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped at Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink at Rephidim. No water at Rephidim for the people to drink. The thousands upon thousands who have come out of Egypt, of all ages, there's no water for them to drink at Rephidim. Therefore, the people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and they grumbled against Moses and said, "Why now have you brought us from Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, "What shall I do to this people? A little more and they will stone me." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Pass before the people, take you with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand your staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock at Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He struck the rock, and water came out of a solid rock to feed the thousands of God's people and all of their animals. He named the place, Moses named the place Massah Meribah, because of the quarrel of the sons of Israel and because they tested the Lord. Notice what was their real question. Not where's the water, but is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? Thirsty people, is the Lord among us or not? Come thirsty, Jesus says. Come thirsty and drink. So what happens during this time? We read in verse 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, 7 days are given to this feast. For 7 days, the children of Israel live in their tents. And they come out. And every day, now this is important, listen. You cannot understand what Jesus is about to say, nor can I preach it to you clearly without me giving you this part of the story. So what occurs during the Feast of Tents? Every day for 7 days, the priest goes and takes a pitcher, and he goes to the pool of Siloam. That was a place where Jesus sent a man one time and told him to wash his face and his eyes, and he would be able to see. The priest takes the pitcher of water. The streets are lined. The street from the pool of Siloam to the temple, there to the mountain, the temple of God, where the smoke is rising from the altar, where the blood is flowing as the animals are being sacrificed. All of this going on at the same time, and the trumpets are blowing, and the people are cheering. And the priest takes the water and he goes back to the temple. And there before the altar, he takes the water and he pours it out in a basin. Day after day, going to the pool of Siloam, bringing the water, the people are cheering, the trumpets are blowing, the dust is flying, the noise, the smoke of the altar, the sounds of animals dying, the blood is flowing for sacrifices. But on the great day, on the seventh day, the priest takes the water and seven times with this pitcher, he goes and he walks around the altar. He makes 7 circles around the altar of God. And then 7 times he pours the water in the basin before the altar. With all of the trumpets, with all the people cheering, with all the noise, with all the chaos, with all the dust, with all the smoke flying in the air from the sacrifices on the altar and the blood flowing. And we read now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood up, and what did he do? He shouted. He shouted in the midst of all of this religious fervor and all this joy and all this happiness as Israel remembered God's promised blessing as the water came out of a rock. And Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. What a statement for one man to say in the midst of an entire nation and all the religious leaders and all the rest. He stands and cries. Jesus stands and cries in the midst of a religious celebration, in the midst of people going about their business in Israel, in the midst of people celebrating and being together as their families, being distracted by so many things. Jesus cried. He shouted to gain their attention. What will it take for some of us to pay attention to Jesus? He shouted, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. You know, I'm told by our medical people that if you show the signs of being thirsty physically, dehydration has already started in your body. Now, it's hot outside. You need to drink your water. It's important. The signs of dehydration are very real and they're very serious. They're serious for the young, they're serious for the old, and everybody in between. Dehydration, you feel tired. You don't have the energy that you should have. You feel a sense of confusion. You feel a little bit dizzy and lightheaded, and you lose perspective, and you can't seem to focus on things. You're dehydrated. There's not enough water in your body to keep you focused. Jesus says to people who have a much more serious problem than physical dehydration, you must come to me thirsty. Come to me thirsty and drink. Don't just come, but come and drink. It leads to a second thing that Jesus is saying here. On the great day, the last day of the feast, Jesus stood and shouted, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Number two, when we come just as we are, thirsty, and we drink, we believe that Jesus will satisfy. There are a lot of people who try to find satisfaction in so many ways. In fact, we use the phrase, people are thirsty for power, they're thirsty for attention, they're thirsty for affection. Thirst, because thirst is such a powerful desire. When you're really thirsty, when you really are experiencing dehydration, there is no desire, there's nothing physically that can compare with the desire for something to drink. Jesus says in this crowd, in the midst of all of the feast, the great day of the feast, come to me and drink. He's calling on all of us today the same as he shouted in that day to people who were so, so distracted. Oh, listen, and it's important. I'm not making a joke here. You know, we really do need to pay attention to our law enforcement, to our sheriff, and to others who have said to us, don't text and drive. Pay attention to what you're doing when you're driving your car. Don't be distracted. When people are distracted driving, it's a dangerous thing. But oh, how sad it is when there is spiritual distraction that takes us every other place, trying to find in our lives somehow, some way to experience real life. And we try to pursue all of these things over and over and over. And Jesus is shouting, he is saying, he is appealing, he is inviting. And I'm seeking to do my best on his behalf. Come to Jesus and drink. Believe in Jesus. You know the saddest thing about this chapter? A lot of people didn't believe in Jesus. In fact, if you have John chapter 7 open, look at this. His brothers had a conversation with him at the very beginning of the chapter and said, well, if you are who you say you are, you should go to the feast and you should display yourself to be the promised one. But it says in John chapter 7, at the end of the conversation Jesus had with his brothers, for not even his brothers were believing in him. Jesus does go to the feast. He speaks in the temple earlier in the chapter. We read that Jesus says, some want to kill me. And some, verse number 20, John 7, 20, said, well, you're demon-possessed. Some call Jesus a demon-possessed person. His brothers didn't believe that he was the Messiah, and others were all divided up after Jesus speaks these words we're looking at today, church, and says, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And as the scripture says, out of his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. We read in verse 40, some thought that he was the prophet to come before the Messiah. Some thought he was the Messiah. And others said he can't be the Messiah. He's not born in the right place. Well, he was born in Galilee, they thought, but he was born in Bethlehem. As the scripture says, the Messiah would be born. And so we read in verse 44, verse 43, so a division occurred in the crowd because of Jesus. A division. It's the same today. It's the same today when people seek to find a source of satisfaction and someone to believe in. Someone to believe in. I'm going to believe in my husband or my wife. I'm going to believe in my own strength to do what I need to do. I'm going to believe in my friends. I'm going believing in somebody, finding someone to believe in. There's still a division in the minds of people in the world, and not everybody believes that Jesus is the answer to their satisfaction need. Though they're religious, oh, they do other things, but Jesus stands and he shouts. I cannot emphasize to you enough. Jesus is shouting in all the chaos, in all the clamor, in all the noise, in all the dust, in all the distraction. Jesus is shouting, if anyone will come to me and drink, he who believes in me, you know, believing in Jesus is at the heart of growing spiritually. Listen, the book of Psalms describes it. Psalm 42:1, it's a famous psalm. As the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God. There's something inside that only believing Jesus and trusting Him by faith will satisfy. Psalm 63:1, O God, You are my God. Earnestly my soul thirsts for You. My flesh yearns for You in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Psalm 63:1. And I have the wrong verse, but Matthew 5:6, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled up when you come to Jesus. The idea of these words, come to me, is keep coming to me, keep drinking, keep coming to me, keep drinking. So just as I am, I come thirsty and I drink. What do? I believe in Jesus. And when I started my relationship with God, I believed in Jesus. Now I believe in Jesus today. I believe in Him the days that I have in my life. I believe when it's a good time. I believe when it's a bad time. I believe in Jesus who satisfies. Which leads to the third thing. When we come to Jesus and we drink, we experience a change. All of a sudden, inside, there flows a peace that we cannot describe. What did Jesus say? If anyone will come to me, verse 37, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, you must put your faith in Jesus Christ, church. You start by believing and trusting in Jesus. You live trusting in Jesus. You die trusting in Jesus. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. And John tells us, he's talking about what happens when we come to know Jesus. We experience the presence, the filling of the Holy Spirit. Inner satisfaction. No longer am I satisfied by my job, by my relationships, by what I desire, by what I achieve. I'm satisfied on the inside. There comes to be a peace and a life-giving source that cannot be taken away regardless of what life dishes out. This inner satisfaction, this inner experience of rivers of living water. You know, water keeps us alive. There's not a person in here. Water keeps us alive. As much as you drink other kinds of drinks, you must drink water. Water keeps us alive. The living waters that Jesus gives. You see, He is the rock. What did Paul say? Let me read it real quick. 1 Corinthians 10:4, and all of Israel drank from the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:4. The rock was Christ. Jesus is calling us to spiritually drink and to keep drinking, because we must in order to live and experience satisfaction. I put here for you on the screen Romans 8:6. Paul said, if you have the mind set on the Spirit, there's two things that you experience, young and old alike: life and peace. Life and peace. Oh, we want life. We want our lives to matter. We want purpose. We want life to matter. We want life to be worth something. We want our life to count. We want our children's and our grandchildren's lives to count. We want our friends' lives to count. We care about people and the way they live. And peace. Oh, the search for peace. Oh, the desire to find peace. Peace that's more than just a feeling that I have because I take some substance to numb me. No, it's a peace that comes on the inside that nothing takes away. No matter what comes in my life, whatever troubles I find, this life-giving water, I come to Jesus, I believe in Jesus, I trust Him, I trust the Lord. And as I trust in Him through all the circumstances of life, I trust Him for my salvation, to keep me from a devil's hell. I trust Him that He will show me the direction of my life. I trust Him that He will help me understand what it means to glorify God with my life. I trust Him. I drink. I continue this drinking of this spiritual water, and the life flow comes, and I am filled with His Spirit, and I experience love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness. All of this flows out of my life. I must say to you, friend, if you say you are a follower of Jesus, but you have no satisfaction and peace, perhaps you should consider, are you really saved? It is the promise of Jesus. He does not say, come and drink, and in the midst of all your worrying about things, you'll every once in a while be satisfied. No, out of your inner being flow rivers of living water. You see, the Holy Spirit gives us lasting life. The Holy Spirit gives us strength to grow. You see, when you have life and peace, not only can you live all day long in joy, now this is important, I'm about finished, but you can get a good night's sleep. I was meeting with some of our men in a Bible study not long ago, and I want you to look with me as we finish today at Psalm, the evening Psalm, Psalm number 4. It's worth you putting down. I'm going to try to help you get a good night's sleep tonight. Are you for that? Listen, this is for you. Some of you don't believe me. You mean there's something in the Bible about how to get a good night's sleep? There sure is. And you don't have to drink milk or a pill. You don't have to take extra melatonin. You'll be able to turn the TV off instead of listening to all that racket all night long. You'll be able to sleep like a baby. Have you ever looked at a baby sleep? They just don't have any worries, because somebody's taking care of them. I hear you turning those pages because you don't believe me. Many are saying, Psalm 4:6, who will show us any good? That's what many people say. Who will show us any good? And they're wringing their hands and they're living in worry and fear. Who will show us any good? Nothing's good. It's all messed up. It's all falling apart. Lift up the light of your countenance upon us, O Lord. You, oh, here it is. Here it is. Jesus said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And as the scripture says, out of his inner being will flow rivers of living water. You have put gladness in my heart, more than when their grain and new wine abound. In peace, church, in peace I will both lie down and sleep. Jesus said on the great day of the feast, when the priest had taken and gone 7 times around the altar and poured out the water, on the great day of the feast, while the crowds cheered and the trumpets blew and the sacrifices were offered, Jesus says, he shouts, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink, and out of his inner being will flow rivers of living water and a good night's sleep. So where are you today, my friend? Are you all wound up in the worries and cares of the world? They've got you wrapped up in a knot. You have no peace. There is no joy in your life. You can't find satisfaction anywhere. And you've tried all kinds of sources and all kinds of people. Where are you today in your relationship with Jesus? Oh, this is for the old and this is for the young. This is for everybody here. Jesus calls everybody. See, he shouted to the young. He shouted to the old. He shouted to the middle-aged. He shouted to the boys. He shouted to the girls. If anyone is thirsty, come and drink. And satisfaction will come like you have never experienced in your life. And by the way, it never goes away. It never goes away. So today, just as I am, I come thirsting on the inside with a driven desire to have satisfaction, life, and peace. And the only way I'll ever have it is to keep believing in drinking from Jesus, the rock who gives the water, the spiritual drink we all need. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for these words of Jesus. Here we sit before you, Holy Spirit of God, as you search our hearts and our minds. Here we are, just as we are. Some of us have brought bad thoughts to this service today. Some of us have come into this place angry. Some of us have come into this place extremely distracted. Some of us have come into this place worrying. Some of us have come into this place carrying our brokenness and our loss. And some of us have come into this place happy because we're in a good season of life. Lord, just as we are, here we are before you all morning long. Lord, your people have sat before you. Just as we are. And all you want us to do is come. To come. To come to Jesus. So now you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. What must you do? How must you come? What do you need to do? No, this is not for your neighbor or for your children or your mate. This is for you. Just as you are, you must come. It's Jesus' appeal. It's his cry. It's his call. It's his command. You've come to everything else, but you haven't come to Jesus. So what do? You come. You come as you are. So Heavenly Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. Holy Spirit of God, as you speak to our hearts now, we come. We come before we ever stand. We come before some of us publicly step forward and make public decisions that need to be made. We come. We come and say, forgive us of our sins. We come and we ask you to help us. We come. So, Lord, we ask that you would break the hearts of the hard-hearted and soften those who are cynical and bitter. May they come so that they might be satisfied. So bless this invitation time now. May we do what you want us to do as we hear your word. With our heads bowed, if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Jesus, you know, we've had recently some students who said they've come to church most of their life. Recently they said, I've never come to Jesus and drank. I've never believed in Jesus as Lord and Savior. Maybe someone else is here and needs to do the same. Maybe some of you boys and girls in Vacation Bible School or students at camp, you've come and you've trusted Jesus. You need to tell the church. Others need to join this church. You need to come and put yourself in here with us so that we might do what God's called us to do in this community. You come to Jesus and you come to serve. So let's stand, and as we stand, we're going to sing this great old song. I'm here at the front and we invite you to come, and Tim's here at the front. We'll meet you if you come. Let's sing it. You know this song.